welcome to the podcast. Hello, everybody. If you're tuning in, close your app, close your application.
Why are you?
Press pause, press stop, unsubscribe.
This is because we gotta be honest with you folks. The show, it's gonna be a bit of a piece of shit.
Nah. I can't say that. Welcome everybody to the Gecko Games Cast. This is, you know, We do great work
here,
Rich. Across from the virtual table is Rich Meister.
Hello, Rich. What's good?
Yeah, what's good? And I am also your host, Eric Ortiz. Welcome. This is, from what I've seen on the stats, I'm going to put a nice asterisk at the end of the sentence, the number one video games podcast in the world.
In the Flarenix dimension.
That's what I've heard.
That's statistically true. Let me, you know, I'm going to fucking come out in this podcast hot, like right off the bat. Mm. Have you seen this Elon Musk on SNL? Have you seen this Wario sketch?
Yeah, I saw it.
Not a fan. That's
not a fan.
That's not what Wario is. Not Italian. He's some sort of goblin. That's not what he sounds like.
I just didn't like Elon Musk on SNL at all.
I just don't like Elon Musk. So I was going.
I know what his objective was. The man was supposed to propel Dogecoin, and it didn't. It dropped after his appearance and during. So, yeah. Did not like it, did not care for it, saw him dressed up as Wario, watched it, knew it wasn't going to be good from the outset of the thumbnail, thought I'd give it the benefit of the doubt for whatever reason.
I was trying to make that Harry Potter meme with Elon Musk as Wario, where it's like, how dare you stand where he stood?
I just thought it's just weird. It was a weird thing. We're living in a time where I believe Elon Musk can just say, I want to be on SNL, and then he can go on SNL.
And then some guy in their basement's like, Elon Musk knows who Wario is. He's just like me.
Exactly. And waiting for Bill Gates to come on, newly single, waiting for Bill to go on the show.
Bill Gates as Bowsette.
Yeah, throw himself out there, put himself back on the field. I'm down with it.
You know what they're saying out there? You know, the Queen's husband dies and suddenly Bill Gates is single?
I'm just saying, I've heard rumors. And, you know, Melinda, I feel that too. Get on the show too. Totally fine.
Melinda, get out there.
Free
get
market
yours,
for both.
You know?
Yeah, get yours. Everybody go get yours. But, yeah, it was a little bit of a weird thing. I didn't expect to see a Wario sketch. And now that it's been taken, you want to know what sucks?
Waluigi
now
that has canonically appeared on SNL.
Now that sketch has appeared in the wild to the mainstream, now nobody is going to want anything to do with any of those characters.
Do you know how much...
Not that they ever did in the first place.
Do you know how much Google search results must have gone up for Waluigi following this episode of SNL?
I'm sure they actually... I'm wondering actually how many people thought that was fake. They probably
that
didn't
they
even
made
think Waluigi
up the
was real. That they actually made up the character, which even seems way more realistic to me.
They clearly bought that costume on Amazon.
Yeah,
that was part
of
the costume budget. I have a nicer Waluigi hat than that. They could have called me.
Hey, man, listen, I'm just saying, nobody's investing budget in Waluigi costumes these days.
Did I send you the controller I pre-ordered?
No.
Hold on, I'm going to drop that in our Discord chat so you can react to it live.
I do want to see it live, actually. Hold on, let me bring up the chat.
I have to,
Surely it can't blow my mind,
it's going to be one of those things where you're like, huh, I'm surprised they're making that. Especially because I can't find...
Especially because I can't find it.
It's out next
they
month.
They don't make it.
I pre-ordered it immediately. Just click on that Amazon link.
Just click this link and it just says, you have a virus. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Duped. It was a prank.
Did you really buy this?
I pre-ordered it, yes.
You pre-ordered this? When did you pre-order this?
Yeah. Like a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
For those at home, it is a Nintendo Switch Pro controller made by Power A, and it just has Waluigi on it. And it is a Waluigi controller.
Rich, what's up? It's pretty cool.
Rich, what's up here? You know what? I actually dig the color schemes.
Yeah, it's got that nice yellow.
I dig this whole purple yellow. Why the fuck? Why? I'm not going to be the first one to stomp
on
your happiness.
You know what I'm confused about? I went to look to see if they had a Wario one, which they don't. And I went to look because if they had a Wario one, I would have bought the set.
These guys have a cool lineup. I guess they're legit. I've never seen Power A before.
PowerA, Target carries their brand, so I know like they at least like the name is out there. And
Are they legit though, Rich?
they legit they have to legit license stuff because PowerA sells Mario stuff in stores.
Oh damn. Let's see. They got some cool. Let's see. They got some cool designs out here.
That Animal Crossing one's pretty cool.
Yeah,
Minimalist.
they got some cool designs. All right. Well, listen. I'm not going to be the one to tell you how to spend your money because I also bought a controller.
Did you?
I did. I bought the Monster Hunter Rise Pro controller.
Oh, that's a good pick.
Well, what happened was I, for those who don't know, I was just on the road, just traveling around.
Hunting monsters.
So, yeah, hunting monsters. I only brought my Switch without the dock or the Pro controller.
I
I
just
didn't think
brought
that I'd be able to pack it.
my Switch in a dream.
Yeah, just brought the Switch in a dream. Thought I'd be able to play all the games by storm. Never happened. And I did not bring the dock though. So after I got Monster Hunter, I was playing it. I've heard that it looked really good from Rich and others, that it looks great docked,
It do.
and I should experience it with the dock. And I really wanted that. So
Did you buy a dock?
I went out. I did. I bought a third party dock. It was like $25.
There's
What game's
some
that?
good third party options at this point. Like back at launch, there I think Nyko made one, and people were immediately like, "It bricks your system."
Well then, this is not Nyko, so at least I'm safe with that. I think it was Rocketfish,
Rocketfish
maybe.
makes some good
And
peripheral stuff.
yeah, it's either Rocket, and I'm so unsure because it's literally just a third party. And I was like, yeah, sure, take the money. And I was immediately going to go to Best Buy, right? And it then occurred to me that this was a gaming need, and there's only one shop
Which
in
makes it
this
a tax
planet.
write-off.
There's only one shop on this planet that can handle any gaming need before it goes bankrupt, and it was GameStop. So I said, let me go give these guys my business. Let's help this mom pa chain
You know, that's
come back from the
crazy.
dead.
Because this month I went into a GameStop for the first time in like years probably as well.
How
You
was
can
your
do all this
experience?
stuff online and just go to the counter and give them your name. So it was the fastest, easy experience I've ever had at a GameStop.
I can't believe I'm actually talking positively about the experience that I've had here to, resuscitate what is already
Today's podcast is
slated
brought to you
for,
by GameStop.
yeah, it's already slated for departure on the world. Yeah, so I go to GameStop. It was okay. It was kind of a strange experience because I never thought I'd find myself in there.
They should put that tagline on an ad. GameStop, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. And also just like right on the bottom, it's kind of a weird experience. It was a strange one because I hadn't been in a GameStop for well over a year. And that's not even just because of COVID. I just ever since GameStop had that ThinkGeek acquisition, they started selling that merch. I think I remember the exact time I walked out of GameStop. I think it was back in 2018 when they started selling the retro games again. Like the classic
When they were
Super
like,
Nintendo or
check
Game
out
Boy
this
shit,
novel
and they're like,
idea we
yeah.
just had.
Yeah, they just started selling that, and I looked at, I think I talked about this last cast, I looked at a copy of Donkey Kong Country 3. They just had it, which I was at first a little excited when I picked it up. I was like, oh, maybe finally these guys are just going to start selling retro stuff. And it was something like $90. And for reference, the older games, I mean, they do have their value for it, and it was a good looking cartridge for it, and it was authentic. But even some of the retro gaming stores near my house, I don't think they were charging that much. I think they were at least charging maybe $50 to $60.
I could see, you know, I'm gonna out of curiosity see like what that game in particular goes for like on
Yeah, just
Amazon.
go see, and because I don't want to knock it for it, but it was just so it just seemed like such an inflated price for me, and I was thinking, damn, it's like I'm not coming back if I can't even get. I don't come back here for normal means for just any current games because typically I just buy it online. I have to be real with that, and I'm not gonna come back for retro means because it just seems way too inflated. So I just never walked back in. That was the last time I'd step foot there until the other day.
So, I see DKC3, interestingly enough, listed on Amazon for
Was it a steal?
$34.25 with original box. Not in great condition, mind you.
Okay, I was gonna say also the only other time I'm a little
Oh, sorry,
skeptical for those is when
this is a Famicom copy, so it might actually a lot of times those are way easier to get a hold of.
Yeah, I was gonna say the only time that I've ever seen cheap copies of carts going around is either when they're a reproduction, they're not the original, and they've just had their chip moved to a cleaner cart, or it's just dinged up to high hell.
I mean, these aren't always the worst, especially like a game like this is be very easy to play the Japanese version. And I think I've told you this before, for games like Chrono Trigger and Link to the Past, where the English carts can be harder to get a hold of, I at a point had Super Famicom carts, and the Retron series of consoles will let you put English patches on SD cards and put them into the Retron, and then you can apply that to the Japanese cart.
Cool.
Which I've done with Chrono Trigger, which is way more work than need be to play Chrono Trigger.
It's like, let me just really establish this. This is a lot of work. For this specifically, can I have to go down this rabbit hole? Yeah, totally. Speaking of DKC, and I'll come back to the GameStop store in a moment, but speaking of Donkey Kong Country 3, I did go back to that retro game store and I bought it. That was a true kind of brick and mortar, the trading post that we know in Levittown.
Yeah.
I figured that was probably a better use of my money because it's an independent store. And those guys are cool.
The mom and pop shop.
Yeah, for sure. And they had a great selection. So I bought Donkey Kong Country 3 just because I like to have them, honestly, just to own it for collection's sake.
I think the only one I still have is...
Who can't relate with that?
...is 2. That's the like that's one of the ones that's like in its little plastic sleeve on my bookshelf. Like, yeah, I've accomplished something.
Let me tell you, that's the hot one. Number one, I think people just have driven solely and utterly by nostalgia for being their first game ever for Donkey Kong.
I think they're all
number two
good.
For me... number two is the Grail. It's a Grail for me. Easy.
Diddy's Kong Quest is the GOAT in terms of
it is the GOAT
DKC.
It's the GOAT of it's one of the GOATs of platforming, yes. Just done right.
Oh,
in my 100%. Opinion.
I don't know if we had gotten the chance to talk about this. I haven't played it much myself, but I'm getting a lot of word of mouth on the Switch. Kaze and the Wild Mast, which came out recently, is a
Vinny had told me about that.
Is a DKC like, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the graphics, and we could talk about that in a little bit, but I'd seen it, and I was like, not bad. Interesting enough, with Donkey Kong Country 3, on my Super Nintendo, actually, when I went home to go play it, just to see if it, you know, they do a test at the store to make sure you can run it, they clean it for you with the chip, which is pretty cool. It actually could not run the graphical component of the game. Like, the sound and the audio was perfectly fine when it started up on my Super Nintendo, but for whatever reason, I guess it just could not handle the graphical display of the chip.
And you do need
with
that.
The system that I had, which I found out you do need to play the game, or at least it helps. So I went back to the store with the system, and I said, "You guys are not." This is also another reason why I liked going to this store, because they actually test the consoles like behind the counter with you. So I said, you guys are not going to believe this. And we plugged it in, and nobody could ever fathom why this specific model of the Super Nintendo wasn't capable of running.
So they were able to plug it into a different Super Nintendo and get it to run?
Yeah. Even before they sell it, when they're cleaning it for you, they'll just do a test run to make sure, because, you know, people donate it or they'll sell it to them, so they like to make sure it's all in working order. They did. They cleaned it. They tested it. It worked. So when I took it home to mine, it just didn't. And we ran console comparisons because I brought mine in, because I just thought it was kind of cool. And the only thing that we can guess, we were looking at the model number 2 and just running the model numbers back. The only thing we could guess was that between Donkey Kong Country 2 and 3, there was a graphical upgrade component that was made to their chip. So we were thinking, for whatever reason, that my console at the time was actually outdated and couldn't run that graphical component of the game because it had updated.
That's possible, but the thing is, the way a lot of that stuff was done, like, I get what you're saying, but typically in the American hardware, a lot of that stuff was like cart side. Like, if there was a chip that improved graphics, it was on the cart.
No, and I believe that too. I actually did not believe later on, after looking it up, I just don't think it was possible at all for that to have happened. I just thought it was the system itself. Funny enough, though, almost all other carts worked. It just seemed to be Donkey Kong Country 3, and I don't know
why. It might have a problem accessing that boost chip. Like, there could be something damaged in the console that's giving it a hard time accessing the chip in the cart. You know, it'd be an interesting one to try, because I know for a fact it runs in a similar fashion. Star Fox. Mm-hmm. Star Fox has an internal chip in its cart.
Tried it.
What I'm saying is, I'm coming over to you, which is very far from me right now. I'm going to grab this copy of Star Fox off my shelf.
Rich, it's been years. It's too late. We can't punt. No, but you can actually test it. I do want to test it. I still bought the cart because I just wanted it.
Yeah.
I was never going to play Donkey Kong Country 2, you got to be real. And also, I guess you have it now on the Nintendo Classics for the Switch. But, yeah, I just thought it was an interesting little mishap that had happened.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that puts a little cap on the Donkey Kong Country 3. But I went to the GameStop.
Yeah, right. And this is where this started.
No, I was saying, I told you, I'd come back to this. So I go to the GameStop, though, and I go in because I just wanted to buy a third-party dock. Now, I went to GameStop for only two reasons. Otherwise, I would have went to Best Buy. Best Buy does not sell, to my knowledge, used components to different consoles. Like, people can't come in, give a Joy-Con, and unlike GameStop, Best Buy doesn't, like, you know, put them in a bag of plastic, slap a price tag, and just do... I don't think they do that. They only do that for returned items as a whole, not piecemeal. So, I thought, either I go to Best Buy and I pay, what was it, $60-$70 for their Rocketfish model, which was wild, which is also why I don't think it's Rocketfish that what I bought. But I took my chance at GameStop over there. It was weird going there. It still had that same outlook with the whole Think Geek and merch boofy kind of thing. And okay. And I looked at the section. They had a third-party dock. I think I got it for about $30, which wasn't bad. Went to the counter, asked them if they had regular Switch docks. Apparently those alone, they sell them for about $80.
Yeah,
that's a... I had never... Get the Joy-Con... But here at the rat, in my mind, I'm very... I know this is not the case. This is just me being matter-of-fact with pricing. Joy-Cons are like $80 for a pair.
They're like 90.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you for keeping me honest. Joy-Cons are $90 for a pair, okay? The dock itself is like $80. That's about $170.
That's that already means, most of... Like, you could get a Switch Lite for another $30.
This is what I'm talking about. So I'm saying, in my mind, I was thinking of the Switch Lite, and I was like, you're telling me that, like, for the regular console, I'd only have to pay about $30 halfway, and I'd already be there. And you're only paying about less than $100 for that screen if you were just paying a current Switch price. So I was like, damn, man, Nintendo products are always so expensive, and they just are. But I was really happy to get this third-party dock. It's fine. It's perfect for what I was using, I haven't had problems.
Does that dock work with the Switch Lite? Did we just find a loophole?
I don't think it does. Actually, can't say. Because does the Switch Lite have the little port on the bottom?
Well, it's got to charge. It might not be on the bottom, but...
I can't say for sure. I'd have to look it up. That'd be
we'd have
be
to a little try. Interesting. We'd have to.
I mean, I guess I'm just gonna have to buy a Switch Lite and just put it on the thing.
Just write it off to the company.
Write it off. You can't just say things are a write off.
Let's just call this a business lunch.
It's a write off. A business lunch. It's like you marked off a $250 business lunch at the Red Lobster. I'm like, yeah, it was big dinner.
Yeah, we got Admiral's.
It was a big
Admiral's feast.
It's like it was a big client at the time, and they're like, who are you taking to Red Lobster? Admiral's feasting.
All you can eat shrimp was back.
But I was actually pretty happy with just getting something on the cheap, and I did ask them if they had the Monster Hunter Rise Pro Controller, because I figured, okay, I did want a Pro Controller. I didn't bring mine. That was dumb. I was being first-worldy about it, and I figured I'll have mine now. And they actually did. They still had a returned one that was still intact, box was never open. Apparently these things are sold out and they're worth something. So I was actually really happy to get it. And
cool.
I ripped that thing open because I have no sense of preserving anything that may be a collectible. And I ripped that thing open and yeah, I was a happy camper. But my experience to GameStop was actually a positive one. And as I was walking out, I was just thinking, man, this place is going to totally go bankrupt because nobody was there. I mean, yeah, sure, it's pandemic, but this was like prime time after work, and this was for on like a Thursday night or something. Not that GameStop's popping off on a Thursday night. It's just usually there's at least one other person or two.
That's
there.
Usually, nobody, you know, that's the, goes that's to GameStop. The place to be on a Thursday night.
Yeah, I know I'm speaking at it like, you know, it's Thursday night, you go to the GameStop, and nobody's doing that. So it was just a little wild to do it and see nobody there. And then it kind of clicked for me that this place is actually going to go bankrupt as a business in like the next probably 2 to 3 years. Unless they change up their entire model. And they still asked me to subscribe for a power-up card, and I was thinking, God damn, some things just never change. They just never change.
Would you like to subscribe to Game Informer? It's a magazine for the next couple of days.
Yeah, I was like, Game Informer my older brother collected those for a while. Great magazine.
You know
Love
what?
That magazine for what it was at the time.
You know what is fucking interesting as hell? And I had been looking into a few of these. I forget where I heard people talking about it recently. But there's like whoever technically owns like the EGM at this point and stuff like that, there's like subscription services where like once a month they'll like send you a random EGM from like the vault of issues they have left, and you could like pick the era. You could be like, I want a random EGM from the 90s or from the early 2000s.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
You want to come work at my zine?
Yeah, the zine. Oh my god. What was that? I was watching Rocket Power.
Remember
like
the
2 Vita
weeks
Lounge? Ago. Stop. Just stop. It's all over. It's just the tales of a bygone era.
I think the Vita Lounge is still around.
I'm sure it is.
It's gonna outlive the Vita.
Isn't that wild? The lounge itself outlived the Vita. But I guess, in a way, that's how it was always supposed to be.
PlayStation offices. That's exactly how Shuhei.
It's like poetry.
That's what Shuhei said the day they shipped the first one.
He said, "I wanted this to last. I wanted to persist humanity."
And at the time, everybody was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
And little did we know, they were right. The only games I've been playing though has been Monster Hunter Rise. I've just been giving it more of a shot. I was going to reach out to you to actually start playing it as I got a little bit further, because I like to just do all the intro stuff first.
Down for that.
Yeah. I tried the light bow gun because I wanted to give it a shot on these, I think I said it one time before, but on like the world games, I liked playing the actual melee weapons. I thought it was a tight move set, and I liked it. It was easy for me. I didn't flub around and just eat the ground. In these games, though, these being the Nintendo-facing ones, like Ultimate, Generations, I like using the range weapons, and they're fun. So I've been using Light Bowgun. This thing is so broken, in a good way. Like, it's just, you just unload on these guys. And it's probably because it's early game, so I'm going to get bodied by the second I hit a Rathian or something. But these things, like, they give you so much movesets to just get out of the way and just start impaling these guys with bullets, and it actually just feels like I'm downright abusing them at this point. I'm just shooting at them. It's really bad. But I've been having a blast.
Let me come in there with that hunting horn and buff you up.
Yeah, please do. It was funny because I was fighting a monster, as one does in this game. I was hunting a monster as one does. And just to provide the correct terminology,
my palico
for the listeners for the listeners at home, yeah. I was hunting a monster, though, and I was just thinking, as I was ranging it down, I was like, oh, if Rich was playing with me right now, technically Rich would be the tank, and that just did not seem right in my mind with you as a hunting horn person. I was like, yeah, Rich would technically be the melee tank and distraction.
Dude,
that didn't seem right.
I've soloed with the hunting horn, so, I mean,
I was just like, that just seems like an abuse of all kinds. I just thought it was really funny to picture that.
I just love the idea of, like, again, one thing I always said, like, and Capcom's always susceptible to this, so I would love the day for, like, a Monster Hunter anime to happen. And I would love one of the characters to just be the hunting horn guy, because there's nothing better than, like, a sort of fade-in where, like, it's like, all right, let's do this, gear up, and then just one guy's like, all right, 3, 2, 1, let's rock, and then he just pulls up a saxophone made out of a dragon's horn.
And he just goes for it. I mean, hey, it's been done before. Let it happen. Give the hunting horn its rightful place. I like sometimes just going on YouTube every once in a blue moon and looking up fights, like on World or something, when people use a horn or just some other unconventional weapon solo, like a heavy bow gun that you're thinking, they're never going to be able to beat this guy. And then they do.
And they do it.
And yeah, it's absolutely wild for me. So for hunting horn, it's especially enjoyable because they max out their buffs in, I think, maybe the blink of an eye. And then they just go for it and body the hell out of everything. And it's so funny to me. It's always so funny to me. It takes so much skill and just know-how
of
the game's mechanics. It's beautiful.
My weapon of choice for a while had been the Basario's hunting horn, where it just looks like a flying V made of rock.
I love those. Or even, like, say, the hammer. There's one hammer. It's just literally a leg of meat. It's just a drumstick.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Like, Capcom always does that. It's so funny to me. But yeah, I've just been playing that and enjoying it a lot more. I did hook it up to the dock now with my new pro controller.
It's
and
a pretty big graphical upgrade. You guys, like...
Yeah. I did the test. I took it off, tried it. It does look really good in handheld. It really does.
It still does, but, like, I think the jump when you put it in docked is more significant than some games.
Yeah, and it runs like butter. Does it look like World in 4K? No.
No.
But it's not I mean, I never expected it to. It looks really good.
Close for the hardware they're working with.
Yeah, and I have to say, they made a lot of quality of life changes in this game that they don't have in World or others. Like, say, the little map icon indicators to show you where certain herbs or collective materials are. In my experience from 4 before, and I could be wrong with this, I don't think they did that on the map. That's just what I don't think
remember.
They did.
You're probably right.
I don't know, and the only reason why I think they did it this time is because now you can traverse other areas through higher elevation, so maybe they marked it to make it easier for you to just know, it's going to be up this mountain, instead of just in the original games where you could not do that. They were just like, it's all an even playing field, you just got to go find it.
All these biomes are really vertical in spots, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, I appreciate it, because frankly, I know... that Capcom knows the user experience for these kinds of games. When you're always starting out in the beginning, they always even crack a joke by saying, "Yeah, I know this is kind of a little easy, but you got to go through the basics, right?" Yeah, like I always get a good chuckle out of that. They're like, "Well, it only helps to get the basics. We know it's a little boring, but I think there's just a great way that they've made it easier." So there's a lot of different quality of life improvements on this game that I hope they keep, and I've been having a blast with it so far. So. Definitely going to keep doing that. What I want to hear from you, though, because you've played it, and now I want to play it, but I don't want any spoilers. Tell me about The Village.
Oh, God.
Tell me about Resident Evil, because I've heard nothing but good things so far. People's social media is blowing up about it. It seems like it's good.
I've already beaten it once. I'm on my hardcore run.
How long did it take you for the
first
playthrough?
My first run was 9.5 hours. You can clear it really quickly. It does have the place. I'm playing on PS5. It has one of those clear it in 3 hours trophies.
Yeah.
So once you've got like a good set, you could definitely run it through. I fucking adore this game. Like, not gonna lie. There's some places where it stumbles. Particularly, I think the first like hour or so is real slow. It takes a while to get where it's going, and the setup feels like increasingly stupid. For anyone you didn't play 7, right?
No, not yet.
So, the thing is, you're playing as the same character from 7, Ethan Winters, who was looking for his wife in 7, which is what led him to the Baker residence in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And it sort of picks up a few years after that, those events taking place in 2017, and it obviously being 2021 now. Ethan living in a home where it seems like everyone wants to think he's an insane person because he wants to talk about what the fuck happened to them, and they're all like, "Can't you just forget it?" Ethan, he's like, "No, honestly, I cannot forget it. It was a literal nightmare."
He goes, "You don't understand. It's PTSD. It was actually trauma."
At one point in the first hour of this game, Ethan literally is standing outside a burning building exclaiming, "Why does everyone keep dying on me?"
You have to laugh. I sometimes wonder if Capcom ever looks at this and they actually do laugh when they're writing the story, because it's just torture porn, Ethan, at this point.
Ethan, if you like hand gore porn, strap in for Resident Evil Village. Ethan's hands get royally fucked up repeatedly in this game. He loses 2 fingers within like the first half hour.
Well, also, from what I've seen in the screenshots, his hands are just literally stitched on to his forearms.
Okay, here's the thing, and I don't want to get too into that, because stuff like that happens in 7 as well, and I spent maybe the first 2 hours being like, what the fuck? I'm not going to remotely spoil it for you. There is a narrative explanation for Ethan's healing.
Is there an
in-universe explanation for it by the end of the game.
That's why I like... Again, another reason why I like Capcom and Resident Evil games, they somehow find a way to tie back even the most asinine little things about it that you otherwise would just say, no, there's no way, there's an explanation for that. And they're like, yeah, there is.
That's the other thing this game does well, is it successfully ties the events of this and 7 to the first Resident Evil, to the founding of Umbrella.
When you told me that, I was thinking, man, that's pretty wild. They always find a way to do that.
As you're walking through this village, you'll see the Umbrella logo everywhere. And you're like, that's weird. And then by the end, they do give you some good reasoning for it. It's just fun, man. This game does something really well. 7 is really subdued and definitely plays up the horror more and more about surviving encounters and kind of getting out unscathed, and they're mostly small-scale encounters. This game is way more action-y, and I think it justifies that by saying, you know, in the 3 years since everything that happened, Chris Redfield has put Ethan and Mia through, like, military training because he assumes they're now targets for this sort of shit. This game takes what I would say is the best of 7 and combines it with the best of 4. Because...
would you say that 7 walked so this game could run?
I would say so, in my opinion. And as somebody who absolutely loves Resident Evil 4, mentally right now, if I had to rank my favorite Resident Evils, my favorite would be 2 Remake, followed by 4, and then this. And, like, honestly, I could see 7 shifting, I'm sorry, 8, rather, shifting in front of 4 at some point, just because it's tighter and snappier. I think some of the narrative stuff feels a little, like, weirdly forced at times. The 4 lords of the village that serve as the real bosses are very boisterous personalities, I'll say. I kindly refer to them as rejected One Piece villains. And one of them
they look so ridiculous.
One of them is literally just Captain Kidd. So you have to contend with each of them in a different area, and it feels very much like the designers looking back on Resident Evil 4 and being like, Salazar's castle was the best part, so we're just going to make 4 Salazar's castles. And each area revolves around the hub of the village that you always come back to, and there's new areas in the village itself to explore, and then you'll go off to Lady Demestru's castle or Heisenberg's factory. And each of those areas feels very distinct and unique, and it keeps things fresh. The weird thing is, this is the only weird knock I have against it, is it almost feels disjointed, because it seems insane that some of these places exist next to each other.
And they're just there. There's no other explanation for it, I'm guessing. It's just, that's it. That just happens to be where they reside.
There's these 4 areas around the village, and each lord rules over each... like, I think specifically for me, when I look at Lady Demestru, the first area, and this big gothic castle, and then, like, Heisenberg's factory, which is, like, this industrial plant. I'm like, these places exist. Like, in
it's
the
all,
same...
it's all just there.
In the same
zip within
code.
A small radius. Yeah. That's so funny. And, again, it's just very... I always love Resident Evil because that's just on brand. It's something where they actually try to give you a sense of horror into the game and give you some sense of unease, but they just start throwing the most ridiculous, unexplainable shit like this, and they're just like, yeah, it just is. You know, accept it.
Another weird turn for it is Ethan needed somebody to sort of, I guess, be the person he's talking to. Like, when you think in 4, you have Hunnigan. In 7, you have one of the baker's daughters on the radio with you. She's the only one that's not infected. And in this, the only person Ethan really has to talk to is the merchant.
Oh, great. That's a great companion to talk to all the time.
The Duke. So this big fat guy who you see occasionally who's like, hey, Ethan, want to buy some weapons? because he's got, like, no frame of reference for anything else that's going on or why the Duke would even bother to help him. And that stuff's left, like, purposefully ambiguous.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's just like the merchant.
Which, I talked to you about this privately. It's interesting because I think at one point they probably, like, floated the idea of, like, him being on the radio with Chris or something. Or at one point in concept art they showed there was a character in sort of like a Bloodborne Hunter-looking mask who would pop up occasionally and get Ethan out of trouble and then disappear. And then the big reveal at the end was going to be that it was Ada Wong. But none of that is in this game.
Further cementing the kind of the parallel to 4.
To 4, exactly. And
yeah, yeah.
All these systems you remember from 4 are back. The attaché case is back. You organize your inventory in that sort of Tetrising it around to move shit.
Cool.
The same weapon upgrade system is present. Treasures and combining treasures to sell. Even the whole thing from 4 where you see like a little shiny on the wall, then you shoot at it and the treasure drops. It's all there.
That's cool. Because I already know... I like how they're just able to pick and choose like that based on their previous mechanics that everybody liked. I did read that this was, to your earlier point, like a love letter of 4's functionality and general vibes, and then combining it with just what they had already built in 7 and just incorporating the 2 and just shipping it and just being like, yep, it's Village. There you go.
And it's not always entirely persistent, but for the most part, each area that the Lord controls sort of has its own like persistent threat. Like in the castle, you have Lady Demestru and her sisters and her daughters, rather. Like
Big Lady.
Yes, being the Mr. X and stalking you. There's similar things in other areas. I think the second area, the manor, might be one of the more interesting ones because it feels very much more inspired by the very horror direction that 7 went. And that for the entirety of the second area, you are unarmed. Is the only lord that thinks to take your weapons away from you, and you are fully relying on puzzle solving for about about 2 hours. And
wow, so the only smart lord.
That was the first one where I was like, finally, like, they string him up like a million times, and then when you pull yourself down, I'm like, alright, good, I still have my assault rifle.
Yeah, you just take out your AK, and you're just like, alright!
Like, why did no one take the sense. Shotgun off me?
No, they just want to make sure you get a fighting chance for it. In terms of the overall play length, was 7 a little bit shorter than this one? I think I was reading, was it a little bit shorter, or was it on par with how long this one is?
Probably on par. I feel like it was a little bit longer, but I also say that because I was playing it in VR, so the stints for which I could really sit down and play it were definitely much shorter.
Right.
But it
that's not even to say it's a bad thing either. I think the play length is fine for Resident Evil games. Also, I actually think it's a little bit on the long side for a Resident Evil game.
And also, the fact of the matter is, like, I'm going straight through the hardcore playthrough now because it has the same New Game Plus system that 4 had, where now there's new weapons you can buy from the Duke on this run, and, you know, weapons that only get added to the shop once you've beat it on hardcore, nightmare mode, and all that kind of stuff.
Right. I'm a big fan of that anyway. I don't think 10 hours... I saw, of course, there were some misgivings about it being 10 hours, but I think that's fair. A fair amount of playtime. The 2 remake didn't take any time at all, and I think 3 was even shorter than that. So let's do it.
If it's any testament to how much I enjoyed it, I beat it in 2 days. I don't really do that with games anymore. But
it's the Resident Evil effect we were talking about. Capcom can't stop hitting. They can't stop delivering good experiences. They just make me want to play it from start to finish. It's a good time. They can't stop missing. Not missing. They just don't. They don't miss.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was telling you this too privately, but I thought Resident Evil 7 offered the VR experience. This is just my ignorance beaming out. I thought 7 still had the classic third person experience that Resident Evil had, while VR had the first person. So when I went to go watch my brother's friend play it on 8, I was like, oh, are you playing this in VR? He's like, no, this is the game. And he's like, there is no VR for 8. And I was like, oh. I'm like, is it always like first person? I'm like, or can you change the VR? I got yelled at so hard. Because everyone's like, what are you talking about? They're like, 7 was the same thing. And I was just getting chewed out.
The funny part
I had no
is,
idea.
Like, the idea of a third person, I can't even imagine it. Because we don't know what Ethan Winters looks like.
Yeah, I saw that some people were posting an image online of Ethan Winters, but that's not really Ethan Winters, unless it is.
Here's the thing. We've seen... there's probably an official picture or something that takes... Even in Village, when they're showing cutscenes that are pulled out and in the third person, Ethan's face is never in the shot.
Purposely, I would imagine.
Yeah, you'll see the back of his head or something like that, but you never see his face.
Do people think, or do you think, that it's going to be like some big reveal that it'll be a character that people know?
No. Okay, this game ends in a very specific place that I don't want to talk about until you've beaten it.
I was going to say, that'd be such a cheesy thing where it's just somebody you know all along.
Like, they clearly lay a pathway for Resident Evil 9 is. And I'm interested, but really curious on what they're doing.
Just on the execution side for how that's going to even play out.
Yeah. They could definitely do something interesting with it, but big shout out to my boy Ethan Winters.
Yeah, I was going to say, Capcom can't stop hitting it, so I'm personally pretty excited to see them continue this, because, frankly, I saw one article that was saying, I wonder how many Resident Evils these guys can pump out. I do not care, just like with any other property. I really don't take issue so much with coming out with further iterations of a game or franchise or series. I don't care so long as it's just good. So long as they just keep up the absurdity, they keep up the actual horror elements of it, make it have some sort of connection without it being so balls-to-the-wall ridiculous with one little strand, which it sounds like they did in Village, but okay, I'll take it. But just make it a good story and a good experience. I don't care. You can make 20 more Resident Evils if it's still on par with what I'm seeing from this one.
My favorite conversation I had this week was with somebody who played this game, but I don't think had played since 4. And they were like, oh, whatever happened to Wesker? And I had to be like, you know, tell them the true canonical answer, which sounds like a lie, which is, oh, Chris killed him in a volcano.
And they're just like, yeah, that happened. And it's even better when this is explained in, like, a cutscene or something, and everybody is so dead serious. It's like, yeah.
This reminds me of when you fought Wesker in that volcano, Chris.
Yeah, and Chris actually just goes, yeah, that was a hard fight. That was a hard-fought battle. Weirdest, and I'm just thinking, what?
The weirdest Tekken game ever.
It's so funny.
Heihachi threw Albert Wesker into that volcano.
It's already, and for what it's worth too, just to give people who are listening a perspective, this already shipped 3 million copies. And I believe Monster Hunter also, they had shipped like a million copies after like its initial money. They always keep doing well. They're killing it. And you know what? Genuinely, maybe 10 years ago, if you had told me the same thing, because Capcom was not in a great spot outside of their main IP property, like say Monster Hunter, which always was successful in some capacity, it's fucking surprising, to say the least. Pardon my French, but it really is. It's surprising to see them hit so hard like this.
We all played Resident Evil 6 and didn't understand why it was so bad.
Yeah, I really, you know what? After 5 came out, did not like 5. Thought it was very annoying.
Same.
It was fun, but it was annoying.
5 was fine, but it did not feel like Resident Evil.
No, and I liked Resident Evil so much at the time that I bought the red Xbox 360 console. That was the promotional for it. I was like, yeah, red, hell yeah. It's like, came Resident
like
Evil
Red
5.
Field.
Yeah, I was like, Red Feet. Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. I went, Red Field.
And then Chris
and
burst through
it.
That door. He said, Leon, look at me. Leon, I need you to fuck my sister.
As he's shaking him violently, and Leon's like, what? Bought it, didn't really like it. 6 came out, played a little bit of it, really did not like it. I watched like a few cutscenes just to make sure I got the story bits, and that was even worse than what I had imagined. So that was fine. 7 came out. I didn't even bother with 7. My mistake. People talked it up. Really good. Now 8's out. Resident Evil's back, baby, in the mainstream. I'm not talking about the remakes. I'm talking about the main line of game. Like, we're in now. So, pretty damn cool. Resident Evil 4 VR did not come out yet, right?
No.
They're still making that?
That's coming out this year. I will be in there in the trenches.
Hits keep coming, baby.
Becoming.
Hits keep coming.
Saving the president's daughter to report to you about it.
just gonna come back and report on that. Now, you may be asking, what's next? You know, what could possibly be on the docket?
Resident
more
Evil
games?
City.
What's gonna be the hit? Yeah, what's gonna be the hit of the summer? And I have your answer. It's Mario Golf.
Yeah, that's
coming
true.
Coming out on June 25th.
That's a good pick.
Because I was thinking, you know, Resident Evil released. What could possibly be next? So far, may start off with a banger. Summer is coming in.
You know, it's actually crazy. I was just thinking about like games. I honest to God. I'm interested in that are out. I'm going to leave Mass Effect out of this loop because it's known quantity, but it is coming on Friday. Also out on Friday, we're finally getting the Famicom Detective Club in the U.S.
Yes, I'm actually looking forward to that.
So am I.
Looking forward to that.
I've heard a lot about those games over the years. I am interested to finally experience them. You know what's out at the end of the month, too, that I forgot about? Biomutant.
Yeah. I think Biomutant's actually flown under my radar. Well, the radar, but my radar personally, too, for a while.
The last time I looked at it was when we played it at PAX, which was, what, 2018?
All I have is the picture in my head is that banner with the cat. Just going. Cross arms.
That's your mutant.
Like that.
But you can make him so unique. You could be any animal you want him to be.
I'm just saying, when I think of Biomutant, I think of it from the demo, and I just remember that banner. That was it.
For the record, and this is not giving the game enough credit, because it does look very good, my imagine the pitch meeting for that game was a single man walked into a boardroom and slapped a picture of Rocket Raccoon on the whiteboard and was like, that's the game.
Yeah, and then he puts plus with a marker and then a cat face. And he goes, perhaps.
And they were like,
perhaps.
I'll give this man $10 million.
They're like, we'll fund that. Okay, people like that. The Mass Effect Legendary Edition, I see you put pre-order. Does that mean on Friday the pre-orders come out?
No, it's out, or... it's out on Friday.
Now, are the pre-orders completely, I'm guessing, tapped out for the helmet?
Oh, those, the collector's cash are definitely gone, yeah. If you want to be an N7 spaceman, it's too late.
I mean, I'm sure you could buy it from third-party markets for a bit of a markup price.
It's already $150. I don't know how much of a markup I'd be willing to indulge.
It's a Miggy helmet. That's pretty crazy. But it's pretty cool. I've seen the helmet. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. Would I pay that much? No, I'm not that big of a Mass Effect fan. I do love it, though. I'm just not that huge of a fan. You?
Garrus.
I was going to say Rex, but yeah,
sure. Rex is Garrus also very cool. Remember, kids, if Rex gets killed, you roll your save back.
I feel like I'm doing... I feel this way, though, with a lot of different properties that I haven't really relate, like, have had it impact me in a way. I see a lot of people blowing up about Mass Effect, right? And Mass Effect, at its time when it was coming out, rightfully so, 2 got Game of the Year, I mean, at the time. You know, people were really hyped about this. I liked Mass Effect a lot. I really did. And going through it, I distinctly remember going through all the different story paths and just running through it. I don't know why, but I never was personally touched by it, if that makes sense. When I think back on it, I really enjoyed the games. I thought they were great. I thought the story was great. It just wasn't... I don't know. It just didn't really impact me as much as I feel like it really did for the majority, if you can get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess I get what you mean. I like those games quite a bit. I'd say with the first one, like, I was intrigued enough by the world and like super into the RPG stuff it was doing. And then the game where I was like full-on invested was 2. Like, 2 is just like, that is the cream of the crop of Xbox 360 games to me, is Mass Effect 2.
Most fun with 2. 2 was the game I had the most fun with out of the 3. And the reason why I'm even saying this is because I actually have interest to get the Legendary Edition to just play through them again. Yeah, because totally. I just feel like...
Time for my
fem-chef. Not that run. The game... Again, everybody has their opinion. Everyone's going to be like, well, obviously, I'm sure there are people who hate Mass Effect. I'm sure of it. It's just... I feel like when I went through the game, I didn't play it through with the cognizance or appreciation for the overall world that I was in, if that makes sense. Like, I was kind of just breezing through it and just running through the story. And that's especially true for 1, because I thought 1, while it did perform its world building, I think a little bit better than 2 did, because 2 kind of jumped you into the meat and potatoes, made the game more action-oriented, really just kind of gave you...
Here's the thing that series does so
more of a direct story.
And I think, like, 1 is the perfect table setting for that. The world is super interesting and super fleshed out, and it gives you a note of it. And then the codex is filled with information should you want it. Which is the difference between... At that time, a lot of games were trying to do that, and I think a lot of them were trying to emulate Mass Effect. Like, when I talk about Final Fantasy 13, which I do negatively... I talk about
that's such a kind way to I feel like I want to use that just in every other conversation in my life where I'll just say, listen, I'm gonna talk about this and I'm gonna do it negatively.
So
I just want to keep you up to date on this. I just want to give you the heads up.
Wanted you to know where I'm at. One of my biggest complaints about that game is that there are too many proper nouns.
Okay.
And you could argue, like, a Mass Effect or anything does the same thing. But
I hate everything you're saying to me.
No.
I hate everything you're saying.
Final Fantasy 13 starts throwing around these terms like Lussy and Falsy. I still couldn't tell you for sure what any of those things are. Do you know why? Because they didn't do anything interesting enough with them to make me give a shit and go read about them in the goddamn codex. Because I'm like, I don't give a fuck about any of this. This is stupid as hell. Mass Effect leans the opposite way, where there's like a handful of things where I'm like, I want to know more about these fucking these jellyfish people, or these big gorillas that speak their emotions.
You see them in the main hub, and you're like, "What's their deal?" I want to know more about this guy.
The fuck with the hand.
What's this NPC? Like, go look this up. Dude, I agree. It makes you care a little bit more, and I agree with it. I just don't think I gave it, and this is, I'm fully owning up to this, I don't think I gave it the appreciation that the game actually deserved. As a player, I just don't think I gave too much care to the overall world itself. I remember running through into all the various storylines, and one I kind of just wanted to finish one. I played one with the exact same feeling that I had when I played The Witcher one.
Sure.
Which was, two had already been out. Two was game of the year. Two is fantastic.
You could not play two without getting through this.
Exactly. Yeah. I wanted, and people did tell me, you could just play the two. Like, they actually give you enough background to just play through it.
You definitely didn't ask me at the time, because I would have been like, no, you should play one.
There you go. So, people that I had asked were like, oh yeah, listen, you can look up the story of one. You don't need to play it, just like with anything. It's an excellent game that you should just jump right into two. They improved on the system that was already in one. They made it a little bit better. Go do that.
You should have come up to me in high school and been like, here's a copy of one. I always keep it in my backpack.
Well, my older brother had one, and he was like, oh, yeah, well, I never really finished it myself at the time, but you could play it. And I was playing through it, and I did have that, I had that mental bias in my head. I was thinking, let me just play through this, and eventually I'll go through the story, get all the main notes, finish it, and then I could jump to two. So I don't think I gave it enough appreciation for the first one at the time, so that by the time I did jump into two, I don't even think I was invested that much in the overall world that I was in. I was just playing a good game, and I thought 2 was excellent, but I never really had that feeling where I was thinking, man, this is going to be an expansive universe and a galaxy, and I'm really going through it. I was just playing the game.
And I do think that is the difference, because after playing 1, I had already sort of, like, you know, fallen for that world and for a number of those characters, and 2 was just telling awesome stories in that world. And 2 is that story about Shepard building this crew for the suicide mission. So, like, it is a lot more, like, character-driven and building up who your crew is going to become. It brings in Dr. Morden Solis, who is the best Mass Effect character ever conceived.
Yeah, for sure. I love how you just throw that in there and you just pause, like, you agree?
waiting for you, like, to confirm it. Shout out to Mass Effect 1 for introducing the most unlikable character in the world ever, Ashley.
I really thought you were about to say Rex again. I was like, I hate you.
No, she's the one who murders Rex if you let her, because she's terrible.
Yeah, if you let her, never.
No, you gotta have your charisma high enough. Literally, like, way to characterize a person who's just a shitty person. Like, honestly, I'll give BioWare credit on that, because, like, you go to talk to her and have conversations with her in the hole, and she'll just, like, casually say something like, all these aliens should go back to their fucking planet, am I right? These slimy pieces of garbage. And it's just like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, like, exactly, like, in both the character and you, you're just sitting there going, what? Oh, I love that.
I don't agree with any of this.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, you just think, because you're good-looking, you could just say this with reckless abandon.
And that's
people
why,
homes.
And that's why I send Ashley to try and stop the bomb and tell Caden to get on the ship, because one of you has to die, and it's not going to be Caden.
Yeah, on it, I know, but this is why
I don't even like Caden. I just hate Ashley.
To me, it was the easiest decision I had ever made, because they were either saying, yeah, you can pick species, really against all other species, Ashley, and she's just an asshole. You really have nothing else that you could care for.
Caden, who or it could seems be Caden, nice.
Who seemed like a nice guy. He seemed like a decent kind of guy. I gotta be honest. But Ashley, again, throwing these one-liners out that made me raise my eyebrow, and I was like, you should go defuse that bomb. Just like, okay. And that was the end of it.
It's one of those scenarios of, like, I don't even like Caden that much. But it was like the situation it was like, one of these people needs to die, Shepard. Do you want to kill Hitler or Mike from accounting?
Yeah, and they're just like, I mean, Mike really didn't do anything, so he's kind of got it. He can stay.
That's a point for Mike.
Yeah, that was a point for Mike. And honestly, with these guys, you only needed one. And between different character choices, too, it's just a solid game. So I'm actually kind of, at first when they announced it, I kind of rolled my eyes a bit. I was like, another legendary edition of a game that just had to become
more than
but
anything.
You know what?
I'm interested.
These guys didn't have one. Yeah, these guys didn't have that, and you know, this game didn't have that kind of re-release. Anyways, give it its time. Let it get re-released. Everything else already got re-released.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, we're talking about fucking Super Mario being re-released this year. So, I feel that. Go do it.
You can see all Fane's pores, like God intended.
Yeah, just go through that. I think it's fun how, it's going to be fun how some people are going to experience this game for the first time. Are they I think they're not including the original ending that they had intended for 3. I think they're just putting in the DLC in front of it.
They're putting the retconned ending.
Yeah, they're putting in their retcon. I think it's just going to be fun to have people play through the retcon. And you can just always talk about, back in my day, they had a really shitty, really shitty ending. And nobody liked it. Now, blew up in their face.
Now they only have a kind of shitty one.
That was honestly one of my first experiences where a game actually got retconned. For me, personally. I had not seen that happen.
I think that was the first time where we saw a patch get pushed just to change the ending of a video game.
Yeah, I had never in my life had seen that happen because typically whatever game was shipped and deployed was the final word of it.
And the patch notes just read, ending now 20% less stupid.
Yeah, it was mind-blowing to me because I remember the backlash of Mass Effect 3 before I even bought it, before I even gave it attention. People wanted the devs' heads and the writers. They were like, how can you ship this ridiculous... Kind of think of the Game of Thrones ending, but with a video game, except this time they actually did retcon the ending of the game. My respect for BioWare shot up like 5,000,000% just because I was thinking, damn, if I were BioWare, I'd tell everybody to kick rocks and preserve my artistic vision. I'd be like, dude, shut up. This is like my game. We made it. This is what you get. But they actually did listen to the fans. They reevaluated. I imagined people just sitting in the writer's room, going back to the drawing board, watching the cinematic for the ending of 3 that they originally created, and somebody's just going, this does suck. It just happens. And they just made a new one.
Can I hit you with a controversial opinion?
Yeah.
That first ending was fine.
I think so, too. I still think so.
Yeah. No, like... I
still think so.
I don't think the one they changed it to was significantly better enough to warrant anything. Like, I don't...
No.
Like, I didn't think it was particularly fucking great, but you know what? Endings are hard. Suck it up, nerds.
I don't think, compared to a lot of other endings that I've seen for games, think it was that bad. But then again, I just explained for the last, like, 15 minutes that I didn't have such a heavy tie to it. So I'm not the biggest source. I'm not the most unbiased source on that. It's just me saying, I thought it was okay at the time. If they had done the same thing for, say, The Witcher 3, I'd be a little pissed off, too. I could see where they're coming from. You pour your time. Imagine if you did pour all your life into the Codex and you learned about the whole world and the rich history for it, and then you find out that it didn't even fucking matter what happened at the end. I get it. I get that perspective. So
the Reapers were real.
Yeah, the Reaper. That was kind of the reason why I didn't really care too much about it happening, because the Reapers were the Reapers. What else did you expect? Did you think Shepard was going to pull out a Glock and just be able to shoot them and that would be the end of it? Like, they're the Reapers, you know? That's why they are. So
I did appreciate the one Prothean character in that game who became a party member in 3, because my favorite thing of him, like, you know, having lived in the past and shit, like, his take on everything was, like, Shepard being like, we need to do the honorable thing and the right thing, and he's like, who fucking cares?
He's like, shut up!
You sound like an asshole!
It's like, stop, and everyone just goes, boo, to Shepard. The poor guy. The poor guy or girl. He's just going, boo. Yeah, it was a good one, but I'm actually glad they're re-releasing it for this reason. I think it's something that I'll be able to revisit. I see Subnautica's on here. Yeah, can I do the drop?
Yeah, go do it, man.
Can I do drop? I was just thinking, I'm like, I want to read these. Yeah, the Famicom Detective Club coming out on May 14th for the Nintendo Switch. You got Mass Effect Legendary Edition on the PC, PS4, and the Xbox One on May 14th. Tell me this, Rich. Why is this not coming out for the PS5 yet? You got Quantum Replica coming out for the PS4, Xbox One, Switch on May 14th. You got Subnautica coming over to the Switch. Good game. On May 14th, you got Subnautica Below Zero, also a good game, coming to the PS5, Series X, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on May 14th. And then my highly anticipated game, best for last, Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Dry Twice, for the PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on May 18th.
That's the name they went with.
That, you know, when I was in college,
I was something of a Leisure Suit Larry.
That should have been the start of that story. I'm sorry. My story is actually real. I can't compare it. I should have said I was a bit of a Leisure Suit Larry myself.
That's immediately where I thought you were going. That's where I thought the bit
man. Was. You give me way too much credit for comedy chops. No, I was actually going to tell a legit story. I went to a developer in upstate New York. They were a small-sized company, but they had made like third-party games for the Game Boy Advance across others, for other consoles that were like, you know, Dora the Explorer, My Little Pony, not just the childish properties, but also some of the Nickelodeon properties
and some of the other licensed work.
And I thought that was interesting at first because in the back of my mind, I was thinking, man, that kind of sucks. You kind of want to work for the BioWares or you want
to
work for the
CD Projekt Reds. But that's also like, that's a good way to learn like programming and to learn like simple game design and stuff. Like, it's always what you hear people talk about. Like, those are the games that need to get made so you can eventually make your passion project.
It humbled me very quick, and you were right on the money for that. I learned that any game that you're making, these are people who are making them and getting the experience for making a game. The core fundamentals are still there. Obviously, the engines you're working on are completely different and all that other good stuff. They also, I think one of their biggest properties at the time was Skylanders. Spyro
that
at the time with Skylanders. So
yeah, Toys to Life was big around that time.
I got to see that too, and I thought that, and even, you know, at that time, this is a few years back, I was thinking, this is kind of lame. Like, I want to see the bigger games, you know, the mature games that I thought I was too cool. It was still cool to see the overall development process, the overall work that goes into even the minor, at the time, DS games or the 3DS games that other people really wouldn't even scoff twice at, look twice at, I should say. But that being said, all that being said for the feel-good story, I cannot imagine going into a room and being told, yeah, Eric, you're going to be on Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Dry Twice. Big props to the development team. Big props for people making these games, because I would laugh my ass off. And I would still probably have a good time programming it. I honestly would. I think it'd still be fun time. But it's just such a funny thing to see. These games come out all the time. These Leisure Suit Larry games. I'm always just wondering who the fuck is doing this. And it must make some money. People must love these games. Because it never dies.
There's an audience for everything. I feel like
where is the Leisure Suit Larry audience? I need to know where they are. I need to know.
I feel like there's got to be some degree of like nostalgia for Leisure Suit Larry for some people, because it's like the first instant. Like, Leisure Suit Larry was like the high profile smut game of the day.
Yeah, I think this game. For what it's worth, as always, when I'm usually slamming quote unquote, these games actually do review. Okay, like this game actually reviewed. Because
they're
okay.
Just puzzle games.
Yeah, they're point and clicks and all that. I think this game actually, I think its first game, Wet Dreams Don't Dry or whatever. I can't believe I'm even saying this shit. I think that game actually was a Kickstarter. One of these was a Kickstarter. I know it for a fact. I just don't know which one it was.
I backed a Kickstarter this week.
What?
I backed a Kickstarter this week.
We'll get to that in a second. I think Leisure Suit Larry, though, one of these had a Kickstarter for the original games, and it smashed a number.
Oh,
so
sure.
I just never have met somebody who has played
these
games.
That's because who would admit it to you, that they are the people kickstarting Leisure Suit Larry?
Share your screen, Rich. Share your screen right now. Share your Steam library. All right. Share it.
I will.
I want to see it. And go to the L section. I want to see it right now.
Hang on.
I'm not even going to shame you. I won't even shame you. I support fully anything you ever want to do.
One second here, share my screen.
I'm always just curious.
Oh, there's my...
And for those at home, never shame your friends for playing games that they want
to
play. Okay, well, that's massive.
I'm going
to
go
to the
L
section,
everything. I'm going to go down to L.
Yes, please. All right, there's nothing there. All right, there's no leisures. Okay.
There are zero...
I just want to let you know, even if I did see a leisure, I wouldn't have done anything to you.
I would have just
been surprised, because I have not met a single human being who has played these games ever, and I'm willing to meet them. I just haven't seen.
We're
it.
Doing a
so,
meetup for people to play Leisure Suit Larry.
We're having a LAN party to play Leisure Suit Larry. Play any of them. I don't care. You could even play the one that. I think on the cover he looks like an anime character.
We're meeting
it's
over
up to you.
At Spirits. It's an Irish pub on the Lower East Side. It's gonna be pretty lit.
I thought you were gonna say it's gonna be pretty dark. The theme of the bar is church. That's the drop, though. Be on the lookout, though, for if you haven't played Mass Effect and you're into story-driven games, like story-driven shooter games and sci-fi, and you haven't heard of this for whatever reason,
you just woke up from a coma.
Yeah, if you just woke up, play it. The game itself should ring some bells, though. I think Mass Effect for me was synonymous with The Witcher, in that The Witcher was a great example of fantasy world building where. Or medieval fantasy world building, where Mass Effect was sci-fi world building.
The other thing I remember being like very excited for it with like the buzz of Mass Effect when it was announced was like, oh, this is the people that made Knights of the Old Republic, but now they're working with their own original sci-fi IP, and like that sounds awesome.
Yeah, and keep in the back of your mind too, there is going to be a new Mass Effect that will be out eventually. So
we did.
This is a nice primer.
Some images.
Yeah, I saw a JPEG or two. Just want to keep that. In the forefront of your mind.
I saw Liara.
Okay. But that's really it. I really don't even think there's been any real news.
No, nothing major.
I should say nothing that I've seen.
No, yeah, I kind of did a once over to make sure I wasn't missing anything. Big, but no, nothing.
No.
Nothing really to talk about.
No.
No.
Yeah, there hasn't been at least anything I've seen that I've even cared about, I'll be honest.
Video games now illegal.
It's been another day in the life. Whatever happened to Def Jr.? Remember that for PSP?
I remember that. Was it good? I can't remember.
It was okay. I was a young lad at the time, so I thought it was okay.
I remember talking about the PSP with you in like middle school, and us both being like, damn, I wish I had a PSP.
Yeah, the only thing I got for you is that I know Zombie Ate My Neighbors and their sequel. It's coming out to consoles in the summer.
I didn't even know Konami put out Death Jr. So that's why you don't have any more. That's what happened to Death Jr. It was a Konami game.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sure there's a pachinko machine dedicated to it somewhere.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Konami's practices. So there you go. And Rich, do you wanna get the broom out?
Yeah, I got the broom out. Let's keep the house. Thanks to Ed for our wonderful intro, and thank you to Heather Ramos for our artwork. I didn't say it backwards like last time. It was been a long day. ask us questions. GetGreenGamesPodcast@gmail.com. Eric, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I am @beautiful_Eric. I am a master lurker. There you go.
Lurk away. You can find me on Twitter. Also, I'm @TheRichMeister0. You can also find me on my other home at SwordChomp.com. If you've noticed the tonal shift in the SwordChomp Twitter, that's because I run it now. So follow
we in this now.
So if you're wondering why they're running so many polls about Resident Evil and Wario, it's because I'm in charge.
It's me. You should just make a tweet that just writes, "I'm in charge now." And there you go.
I was gonna do like the Ultimate Warrior with like, "I'm seizing direct control."
Oh wait. I remember exactly what I want to bring up here. Battlefield teased that something was gonna happen in June, I believe. I thought it was a next gen Battlefield.
Talking through this because you reminded me of something that got teased this month that I didn't talk about yet.
Oh well, I'll just save you the trouble. It's not It's not a new next gen Battlefield. I think it's Battlefield 6, but I don't think it's considered quote unquote.
We're calling it Battlefield 2.
Yeah, you know what I mean though. Like I don't think it's a
next gen exclusive.
A next-gen kind of exclusive deal. I think it's one of those, hey, it's coming out for current-gen.
If it's coming out within the next...
we're going to just have it.
If it's coming out within the next year or two, then yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I think it can... I mean, this goes into when I'm saying... I even hate myself for saying this. I think we are in next-gen. Current-gen is next-gen, I thought.
Correct.
I don't know. That's just me, but yeah, that's the way it's got to be. There you go.
You know, it's kind of crazy. I didn't talk about Returnal at all, but I'll save it for next week. Yeah, it's okay. And real quick before we go, there is one more news item that I completely forgot about. Our good old friends at Ryoga Goteko, the Yakuza studio, announced a sequel to Judgment, Lost Judgment, that is launching simultaneously in Japan and the U.S. for the first time for the series. That series being Yakuza, even though this is a spinoff. It's out in September, and it seems fucking batshit crazy.
I saw a picture of Judgment, and I didn't even talk about it. You're right. Thank you for bringing it up.
And there's a whole sequence where, for anyone who played Judgment, will know just how absurd this is based off what this man looks like. Yagami, the main character and, private investigator from Judgment, apparently there's a sequence in this game where he goes undercover at a high school. Like, all I keep thinking of is that Steve Buscemi meme with, like, the "how do you do, fellow kids?"
How do you do?
And be like, yo, anybody hear any rumors about that murder?
I love that. But yeah, looking forward to that too. I'm always looking forward to just more entries into that entire series.
It's so great. Yeah.
Yeah. But as always, everybody, thank you for listening. Rich, thanks for stopping by.
Always a pleasure. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Bye, everybody.